Hello, welcome to this month's Football Fans Podcast, The Shootout, where, as you know by now, The Shootout, we get a former professional on to do a little bit less debating and we have a bit more digging into that player's career. And this month on the pod, I'm really excited because we've got a player that had a great career featuring for clubs like Fulham, Hull and finishing up at Brighton. But it's also his work as a coach and even more so as a media pundit that I've been really impressed with in the last couple of years as well. I'm very excited to announce we've got Liam Rossini on the pod. How are you doing, Liam?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for such a kind introduction. Really appreciate it.
Nah, man. I'm a big fan of your work, man. Listen, there's so much I want to talk to you about, so let's get straight into it.
I'm
sure you haven't got all day. Normally, Liam, I speak to our former players about their careers, and then we get to the present day. But with you, I want to do the other way around. I want to speak to you a little bit about what you're up to now, because most people will know you, or not most people, but many people will know you for the work you do in the media right now on Sky and on radio as well. And I just want to find out, first of all, how did that opportunity come about and how difficult was it to go from a 20-plus year career and that routine of playing into a new life of coaching, which we'll get to in a bit, and the media? How did that come about?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's almost by accident. It wasn't the media side of things. I never really thought about or planned during my career. It's just something that I got asked to do a couple of shows on the debate on Sky. And just spoke to them and did a few shows and enjoyed it. And it just seemed to take off from there, really. So it wasn't something I really planned. I was more always planning about the coaching side of things, but I'm really enjoying it in the media. Get to talk about football for a job, which isn't bad. You know, I love the game. So now I'm really happy with that.
Liam, tell me, how much of the work you do on television is actual knowledge and knowing the game, and how much is prep work? Because a lot of people I speak to say, you know, a lot of pundits, they criticize for, you know, being a bit lazy almost and just assuming that their name and their credentials in the game will give them that command of respect from an audience, but they don't actually put in the work that actually they talk a lot of sense. Whereas people think of, when they talk about you, they're like, he seems to know what he's talking about. Well, he does know what he's talking about. And he seems to say things that are very engaging and very interesting. How much is it is just knowledge of football, and how much do you spend preparing, watching games, going through stats and really analysing what you're about to be talking about?
I think it's a combination of both. I think with me, I've always studied the game. I know every team and every league. It's an obsession of my football. So when you're live on TV, having that knowledge base is really helpful, because you ask questions that you're not prepped for, or things come up. So I'm always ready to answer those questions. But yeah, a lot of goes into, if I'm doing a live game, then I'll analyze the teams and look at the stats and the way teams are playing. But most of it just comes from years and years of studying the game, loving the game, and just using that as a base of my knowledge, really.
And punditry and analysis is a massive part of the game, especially from the fans' point of view, wanting to know what players and what, you know, professionals think about the game. Do you feel there is a level of laziness from a lot of ex-players, and a lot of pundits don't really offer any kind of original insight? It's lots of cliches and lazy kind of stereotypes and just saying and perpetuating what they've heard from another pundit. Or do you genuinely feel that the level of punditry in this country is at a high level?
No, I think it's just different for every individual. I wouldn't say it's lazy. I think every person that's brave enough to go in front of live TV and put themselves out there and speak in terms of something that they enjoy and passionate about, it's quite a difficult thing to do. I don't think there's laziness. I just think there's different types of insights. And I've always looked at it again from a coaching point of view and a coaching perspective. And I try and just put that across to the viewer, maybe rather than an opinion. You know, I like to always back things up with evidence or past experiences that have happened in the game. So I wouldn't say it's a level of laziness. I think the standard punditry has gone through the roof in the last 3-4 years, especially. Mm-hmm. And I think the fans are now asking for even more. So hopefully I can help in that process.
How much do you and your dad, Leroy, who's a former player many will know as well, how often do you guys talk about football, and what kind of influence is and was he on how you see and played the game?
Yeah, obviously my dad was my role model, my hero growing up. And in my family, football was everything, you know. And from the age of 3-4, I've always been interested in football. I had conversations, not about his career or my playing as I grew up, just about the game in general and the way the game's played. And my dad went into management when I was 10, 11 years old. I used to sit in a dugout with him, prepare set pieces on a Friday with him and the team shape and system. I've just always looked at the game in that way. And that helped me on the pitch when I was a player. So yeah, he's a huge part of, you know, the reason I became a footballer and hopefully become a coach. And he's a fantastic guy as well. And he's working still in football, still doing the punditry.
He is doing a good job as well. What was it like being in the household with a dad who was a professional footballer? Was it, did you see a lot of your dad? Was it frustrating or was it quite fun that, you know, your dad was a professional footballer?
Yeah, my dad was a professional footballer. It was absolutely amazing, you know, to have a dad doing something that you love. And I get to go to every game on a Saturday and watch teams play. And he was my hero. And all I wanted to do was be like him. So he was a huge part of my motivation in terms of being a footballer myself and someone I could really look up to.
You're also coaching now as well at Brighton. How are you finding that and how are you enjoying that? And where do you want to end up long term?
Well, I'm absolutely loving it, and I thank Brighton for the opportunity, you know, coming straight out of playing and into a really, really good coaching job with really, really good people, a really good club is, you know, something I'm really thankful for. But to be fair, I prepared for maybe 12 years in terms of my coaching. As a player, I always knew I wanted to go into coaching. It's something I'm really passionate about and something that even more passionate about than actually playing the game. So hopefully in time, I wouldn't say I have any major plans. I would love to manage at the top level one day in the Premier League and Champions League, but I'm sure every coach wants the same. So in order to do that, I have to be as prepared and as diligent and as good on the training ground as possible.
And what kind of coach are you, Liam? Are you very much a hands-on? A lot of the Italian coaches I read are very much about, they're very physical and actually putting you in the positions where they think you need to be on the pitch and really making it very clear you need to be here so you can turn. They're very Pep-like. Or are you a bit more hands-off and letting players almost make their own mistakes and learn for themselves? What kind of coach are you?
Well, I think it's different. If you're coaching younger players, you want them to be able to be in a position to make mistakes because that's the only way you learn. In terms of management of a team, yeah, I think you do. I think the game's moved on. I think you have to be much more organised. You have to have a philosophy and a way of playing now that you can get across to the players. And that's something that I've also worked on for the last 10 years. What kind of manager, what kind of way do I want to play the game? So I'm very clear in the way I want to play the game. I want players to be expressive and take the ball and play from the back. And I think a massive part of coaching is the players have to enjoy it. You know, it's a game we all love. When these players were kids, all they wanted to do was play football because they love the game. Mm-hmm. And you have to use that as a motivation tool rather than make it work, make the players enjoy themselves, let them express themselves and reach potentials that they probably didn't think they were possible in reaching.
And who are the coaches that you look at? Who are the two or three coaches that you really get excited about watching? And what do you take from those two or three coaches?
Obviously, Pep Guardiola is doing incredible things at Man City, and he has a clear fundamental way of playing. And I think the same for Klopp and Sarri as well, who's outstanding at Napoli. And he's gone to Chelsea and implemented in a very short space of time how he wants to play. So I think there's some outstanding coaches out there to learn from. I've always liked Klopp, even from when he was at Dortmund. You could see the way that he wanted the game to be played clearly through his team setup. And you can always tell a well-coached team, and he's an outstanding role model for me to look up to.
And how far behind do you think England are in terms of, well, comparing to the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Germans, French and Italians, in terms of producing a real large crop of talented players that not only can be talented, but can actually sustain themselves at the top level for a long period, rather than just having one that bursts through every generation? You know, the Germans and the French have, you know, two handfuls that are at the top level, under 21 level. How far are we behind those nations?
I don't think we're far anymore. I think maybe 5-10 years ago we were, but I think in terms of what Dan Ashworth has done with the FA and having a philosophy and seeing that in the World Cup, our under-17s and under-20s winning World Cups, we're actually at the pinnacle now, and you're going to start seeing top young players come through. You know, Jadon Sancho, players like that, Ademola Lookman's another one. We've got really exciting young players coming through, and that's down to the hard work that's been done. So I think in terms of British coaching and English coaching, we're closing the gap at a really fast pace, and hopefully that will continue.
With Brighton, Liam, would you say that they're possibly the most diverse football club in the Premier League in terms of the women's team coach, you've got Chris Hughton, yourself. I know they do a lot of disability work as well in the local community. How proud are you of the club you're at in terms of having a very wide section of different people working at that football club?
Yeah, no, Brighton's a fantastic football club to firstly play for and work for. It's full of good people with good values, and I think that shows in the way that the club conduct themselves. In terms of the diversity, yeah, it's great. I think every club should just be looking at the best person for the job, regardless of skin colour, white, black, anything. As long as the best person for the job, and Brighton aren't discriminatory in the way that they appoint people, which is fantastic, and hopefully more clubs follow suit.
What's it like working with Chris Hughton, Liam? What's he like? Because he seems like someone that doesn't really get a lot of attention, but he's doing a really good job from the outside with the resources that he has at Brighton. What's he like to work with, and what do you learn from him?
Yeah, no, he's an amazing manager, but more importantly, he's an amazing man. He's humble. He wants people to do well. He cares about people, and it shows in the way that wherever he's managed, he's done well. But first and foremost, he's a people person. I think in order to have players play for you and to do well as a football coach, you need to be able to articulate and care and have empathy with people as people. You know, so he's a fantastic man manager, really organised as a coach, and it's no surprise to see him do so well right now.
The FA, Liam, have launched a scheme or an initiative to try and encourage more coaches from the black and minority backgrounds to get into the system. Do you feel it's maybe a generation too late in that a lot of people have heard this before and feel like this is lip service? Or do you genuinely, speaking to people in the game who are black and, or non-white, should I say, genuinely feel like there's still a chance that if you are black, if you are Asian, you can get a job at a top club if you are good enough?
Yeah, I think I'm always a positive person. I always think in a positive way. So, you know, my dad was a previous generation to me in terms of football management, and it has definitely moved on, like society moves on. And so I'm trying to look at it from a positive and say, you know, maybe in the past there wasn't that opportunity, but for the likes of myself and many others, maybe there is now, and that's a really good thing. We need to keep working to make sure that it gets progressed in that way.
What was the club you enjoyed the most? Where was you playing where you had the most fun and you enjoyed your football the most?
I think definitely Brighton. I think I definitely ended my career on a high. Like I said, a lot of good people work at the club from the owner down. And it was a really good team spirit we had there. A lot of success, promotion, staying up in our first year in the Premier League. For sure, I think Brighton was by far the most enjoyable period of my career.
Mm-hmm. Fulham was another one of your clubs. They've had a bit of an indifferent start to the year so far, despite spending some good money on some good players. Do you fear for them?
No, I don't think it's. I fear for 12 teams in the Premier League because it's just such a hard league in terms of outside that top six, top eight, anybody could go down. And Fulham are definitely in that group of clubs, but it's always difficult coming up from the Championship. They're playing against an Arsenal team on Sunday who are absolutely on fire at the moment. And the thing is about this league is you are going to get big defeats against the big sides at times. It's how you respond and react to that. And in Slavisa Jokanovic, they have a top manager there. They've got really, really good technical players. I love the way they play football. And if they stay with it and don't get too down when they get beat, that they can be absolutely fine this year.
A couple of guys you played under, Liam, Brendan Rodgers and Roy Keane. Is Brendan Rodgers a really underrated coach? I know he's a manager, but the work he does with players and improving them, is he really underrated? And Roy Keane, what was it like playing under Roy Keane at Ipswich on loan?
Yeah, no, playing under Roy Keane, he's very demanding. He wants the best from his players, and you can see why he had the playing career that he had, you know. And you have to be mentally tough to work with him. You have to deal with, if you don't perform, he's not going to be happy, and he will tell you in no uncertain terms he's unhappy. But that's what drove him to be the top player he was and have the career he had. So I learned a lot in terms of drive and motivation and desire from Roy Keane, and it'll be interesting to see what his next step is.
And Brendan Rodgers, what do you think? He's an underrated coach?
He's an absolutely outstanding field coach. Absolutely outstanding. Probably the best field coach I've worked under in terms of his preparation, his organisation, the way he conducts himself on the training pitch and coaches and improves players. He's an absolutely top coach. And he's shown at Liverpool that they weren't far away from winning the league title underneath him. So I don't think he's underrated in terms of his management. I just think he decided to go to Celtic in the Scottish League. And I'm sure wherever he goes next, he'll be a success because he's an absolutely outstanding football coach.
And is it true, Liam, that you could have played for Sierra Leone? You could have represented. Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, there was I spoke to the Sierra Leone FA a couple of times. It was just a matter. I would have loved to have represented them. In the end, it was just a matter of splitting my family time with my. I was doing my coaching licenses at that same time. I was preparing for coaching all the time, so that there was never really a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, in terms of the long term, I thought it was better for me and my family that I didn't go and play in the end. I love that country. You know, I'm proud to be from Sierra Leone, but there's a lack of organization. And that's something that in time, hopefully I can assist with making sure that we're helping from the ground roots. You know, that country needs building back up again, not just in football, but in society in general. And there's a real motivation of mine to help that country, especially from a footballing point of view.
Give me a career high, Liam. What's been the most enjoyable moment of your playing career?
I think a lot of players talk about, you know, playing FA Cup finals or playing Premier League or in Europe. It wasn't really about that for me. I just enjoyed every moment of being a footballer. That's all I wanted to do as a kid. Spending time with your teammates, winning games where you put everything into. There wasn't really a major moment that stands out for me. It was just the whole experience of being a footballer and doing something you love and getting paid for it.
And just a couple more, Liam. What are the differences between the dressing rooms of youngsters now in comparison to when you were young and you were a youngster in dressing rooms maybe, you know, 10, 15 yeah. years ago when you were coming through? What's it like coaching young players and how much of that has the young player changed from when you were a young player?
Well, yeah, like in every generation, society changes. I think a huge thing now is mobile phones and the internet. You know, I go into when I was a young player, everybody would be talking to each other in the dressing room, enjoying each other's company, laughing and creating a real spirit. Sometimes I worry for the next generations because everyone's on their phone, looking into their own world on the internet, not actually interacting in person. That's something I really are big on in terms of banning phones in certain areas of the training ground, making sure the players communicate off the pitch and enjoy each other's company.
And what is Liam Rossini like away from football? Football aside, what does Liam Rossini do? What music are you into? What annoys you? Tell us a little bit about what you're like, what you like to live with. Come on.
Yeah. Good question. You throw me there. I'm pretty laid back as a person. I'm driven, but I'm laid back at the same time. I'm easygoing. I've got a wonderful family, wife, four daughters. In terms of my music, I love D'Angelo, Neo Soul. That's me. That's where I love music, and D'Angelo's like an inspiration to me. Unbelievable artist. He just doesn't have enough albums out. I'm just laid back as a person.
So basically, you're a bit of a Gallus.
A bit of a what?
A Gallus.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. So I'm happy. I'm a happy person. I try and be positive and help people, and hopefully in the future I can do that as a coach.
I love that. I mean, I asked my guests this final question to everyone: if there's one thing you could change or improve in football, what would it be?
Oh, good question. One thing I could change or improve. I'd like to see more interactions between players and fans. I think because of the money that's involved in the game now, I think with the media, people forget that players are actually people first. I'd like there to be more of a connection between fans and players. I think social media is great for that in one way. But like I said, human interaction and actually being in each other's company and presence, I'd like to see more of a connection. In my dad's day, he used to play for West Ham in the top league, and then he would sit with the fans after a game, have a pint of beer with them and talk about the game. I think we need to find a way of bringing supporters of the game and players closer together, because that's what the heart of the game is. You know, everyone loves the sport. It's the best sport in the world, and everyone's a part of it. So I think I'd like to change that if possible in the future.
I love that. And listen, Liam, man, if you're half as good as the coach that you're doing at the moment as you are as a football pundit, you're going to go far, man. I'm really, really enjoying
it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying your work, and many other people are on Sky and the analysis you do in the punditry. Keep it up. We're really big fans of it. And also Brighton as well. All the best of luck for Brighton for the rest of the season as well, because I'm a big fan of Chris Hughton too. So thank you very much for your time,
good
Liam.
Man.
I appreciate your time.
No, thank you.
Cheers for coming on.
Take care. All right, bye-bye.